Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Let's pray. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Speak through me. Let none of your word go forth in void and return to you empty. God, I pray you touch everyone, God. Release your perfect will onto us and let us be the carriers of it in Jesus' mighty name. Well, today's sermon is called The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Can I bring that up? Jesus was going out about in all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Don't you find that amazing? Every disease. Some people say there's no level for this thing, but I have to say it, there is. And in scripture, it says Jesus healed all who were maimed. Maimed. You know what maimed is? It's missing arms and legs. So in the meetings, Jesus healed all who were maimed. I know. I haven't seen one maimed healed. Haven't seen a full legs and arm grow up with fingers forming. That is wild. Imagine being in a revival meeting where you see like all of them grow out. That would kind of wreck you for real life, wouldn't it? And I can understand why disciples could never go back to fishing. Well, Peter did, but you know, a lot of them, the resurrection of Jesus and everything that he did, it gives them a reason to believe in him until the point of death. Because they saw a lot and none of it could be explained other than it's God in human form. So I'm going to read to you Matthew 10, just keep that scripture there. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, and I'm going to read to you. Jesus commanded this to the 12. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. So the main message of Jesus and John the Baptist was actually the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here. Luke 10, verse 9, Jesus commanded the 70. He says, heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. So what is this kingdom of God? Thanks for asking. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and always accompanies the preaching with healing and demonstrations of the power of God. So, before we have a look at what the kingdom of God is, I want to take a step back and I want to ask the question of what is sin? You following me? In the Westminster Catechism, who's heard of Westminster Catechism? It's a series of question and answer made by this theologian from the Church of Scotland and the Church of England. They wanted to work together a bit more. So they sit down and they go, tell us what you believe and we'll tell you what we believe. And then they got together and they sat down and they made Westminster Catechism, okay? It's actually very easy to read. It's designed actually for children to understand. And so I find it really amazing, just like a statement of faith. The ACC has a statement of faith, but this is made by two denominations coming together and trying to go, hey, we want to work together. So Westminster Catechism stated that sin is any want or lack, that's an ancient word, any want, any lack of conformity onto or transgressions of any laws of God given as a rule to the reasonable creature. I'm like, well, the essence of it. Well, this is like in the 1600. They speak like Shakespearean. So that's a kid's language. The adult was like thou and thou. I used to read King James Bible only once. Until I figured out, it took me half an hour to figure out what dost meant. Then I thought, I can't understand this. I better go back to something easier. I used to read for hours, not understanding anything. And I walk around going, I read the Bible for 2 hours, understand none of it. So Romans 5, verse 18 to 19. I'll read it to you. It should come up soon. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I'll read that again. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So while I honor the Westminster Catechism, and for their age, back in the 1600s, remember they just went through the Reformation, where before the Reformation, they think that salvation is by buying some trinkets from the priests and the Catholic Church. And so that's what the Reformation is all about. Martin Luther goes, he started reading the Bible and he goes, that's wrong. That's actually not how you find salvation. Salvation is by faith. And so these 100 years later, so they were the reformers. They reformed everything. They were amazing. Unfortunately, these days, there's people that still stuck there. So they hold Martin Luther and all the reformers, and because they weren't seeing signs and wonders back then, they sort of stayed there and go, that's the perfect church, and anything that deviates from that is heresy. So I tried many years to try to be nice to them, but I just decided that I'm not going to play that game, so don't bring it here, please. Amen. It is, it's like they accuse us, New Apostolic Reformation. It's like, it's a bunch of cessationists that believe God doesn't heal or move. But that's not the truth, amen. I got saved by the power of God. I was a drug addict, drug dealer. I was getting arrested. I said, God, if you exist, do something. And he did. He set me free of 2 years of ice addiction in an instant. Amen. So, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So you are a sinner. You are a sinner before you did anything. So while Westminster Catechism says that sin is an action, Romans says you are a sinner before you did anything. Because of the sins of Adam, you are a sinner. So if I am a sinner because of Adam, sin is something before it is an action. Yes. Right? So what Westminster says is that it's an action, that sin is an action. Great theology for 1600. From buying something from the Pope to that, it's amazing. Yeah? But we move on. We keep reading the Bible. We build up line upon line, precept upon precepts. So if sin is something before an action, what is it? Glad you ask. So before to explore that, we're going to go into Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Genesis, hey, here we go. Then the Lord God says, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand together and take off the tree of life and eat and live forever. So before we get there, this is what happened. God created the earth perfectly. Then he made Adam and Eve, and he made a garden. And he says, he placed man in the garden, and he goes, tend it, grow it, right? Be fruitful, multiply, take dominion of the earth. And then a serpent comes along and go, and before that God says, you can eat of everything, but there's two trees you take note. eat from the tree of life, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So because of the serpent deceived them, instead of eating from the tree of life, Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he says, their eyes were open and they know good and evil. And then if you read the Genesis chapter 3, he says, Adam looked at himself, was ashamed and hid. Are you with me? Now, this is the point. The Lord says the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So God knows good and evil. But God is not corrupted by that knowledge. The knowledge of good and evil makes you do this. You think you have to be good and not evil. Are you following me? If you evangelize and talk to the unsaved, they all say that. It's like, are you going to heaven? They go, yeah, I'm a good person. Who heard people say that? I have to be I'm a good person, so I'm going to go to heaven. We saw that last week. We went out to the street, spoke to this lady. She was a Catholic, and we asked her, it's like, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? And she goes, I'm a good person. I'm sure I will be. But the Bible says the knowledge of good and evil is the tree of death. So whether you're good or you're evil, you'll die. That bit is a bit nonsensical, isn't it? It requires the Holy Spirit to bring that to conviction and to life. God says, eat from the tree of life and not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me? So, this is what happens. Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and knowledge of evil. And what happens is it made Adam and Eve become like God, being able to think independently. And what it does is it separates Adam and Eve from God. Initially, they were created one. Right? Adam and Eve were one. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were one. Initially, everything was one. But the minute Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he goes, this woman that you gave me, Lord. The separation begins. Before that, they were one. Now it's like she and you. And God's like, oh my goodness, brain damage. Like it is, the damage has been done. It's like, and the first thing that God said was, who told you you were naked? When God created Adam and Eve, he says, very good. He created the sun, moon, and the stars, and he goes, good. He made everything good. But Adam and Eve, he says, very good. When we had a son, the room could be good, but the room is nothing without the star of the show, which is the child, isn't it? Your child is worth more than the room. Your child is worth more than the cot they are in, than the clothes they are in. And so that's what it is with God. God made everything for Adam and Eve, who are his children, who were made in the image and the likeness of God. So Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were able to think independently from God. They were able to make decisions like God. But the problem is Adam and Eve doesn't have perfect knowledge. Have you ever been lied to? That was too joyful, Kevin. Have you ever been lied to and you think it's the truth and you're about to act upon that lie that you thought was the truth? You can't do that to God. God knows everything perfectly. He knows everything that was going to happen and he just knows everything. So that's why God is able to have knowledge of good and evil and he doesn't corrupt him because he knows everything. But we know only partially. We know a little bit. We know nothing. Isn't it? Okay. Then after Genesis 3, he says, this is the reason, you know, after that, God kicked Adam and Eve out of the tree and he put a cherubim in the garden so that they can't come back in. Did you know that that is because of mercy? How did Jesus come to redeem us? By dying on that cross. God says, let's kick them out because otherwise they'll reach into the tree of life, eat from it, and live forever. If Adam and Eve fell and then they ate from the tree of life and live forever and they cannot die, we are locked in the fallen state forever. This is why Satan cannot be redeemed, because they cannot die. They have fallen into a state of separation from God. They cannot die, so they cannot be redeemed. This is why you need to accept Jesus before you die. Because if you die in a fallen, separated state, you will be locked in. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. So this is mercy. God is calling you to come back to Him, to repent, to turn from your ways and be connected. And in Ephesians, it says, once you believe in Him, you are united back with Him. You are seated in heavenly places. You are in Him. He's in you. You're back to that oneness again. But if you die before you are reunited to God, you'll be locked in a state of separation. That's right. So later on, we're going to give you a chance. If you have never accepted Jesus and you still separate from God, we're going to give you a chance. Amen? All right, very quickly. Definition of a government. I looked up, this is from just from Google. It brings up dictionaries. So you go, what is government? And then there's a list of dictionaries explaining what government is. So a government, a group of people with the authority to govern a country or a state, a particular ministry in office. A government is a group of people with authority to govern a country or a state. Definition of a kingdom. A country, a state, or a territory that is ruled by a king or a queen. The king or the queen is able to set and enforce laws. Therefore, when Jesus was walking around preaching, He says, repent, turn around. The kingdom of God is here. He's saying there is another form of government. There is a country that God wants you to return into, and that country is ruled by God. It's a form of government. And if sin is a separation that causes us to be able to think independently, and the kingdom of God is a government, a state, a country, a territory that is ruled by a king, sin is rebellion and independent from the rule of God. Hello. Therefore, to overcome this, we need to resubmit to the rulership of Jesus. This is why He says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus say, am I really your Lord? Or are you the Lord? I got this revelation. Was one day I was cutting Isaac's hair. And we got talking to the lady that was cutting the hair. And then, long story short, I told my testimony. And then she started going, oh my goodness, that's amazing. My brother, he's also on ICE and he's suicidal. And I started going, oh my goodness, I've got the cure. It's Jesus. And then she's like, oh, I'm glad that worked for you, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're depressed. Your brother's depressed. He's on drugs. He's suicidal. And I told you what healed me. And then your reply was good for you. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I stopped because I was confused. You're like, why didn't you say something? I'm like, I was confused. I was like, what in the world? And this is what God revealed to me. She's not ready to submit. She still wants to be in charge of her own life. You know that in the Bible, I did a research on what sin is. There's three words to describe sin. Kata, which is going the wrong way, which is missing the mark, missing the cut. And the second word is pesha, which is rebellion, transgression. And the third word is avon, which is iniquity, a twistedness. And God addresses all of that with the cross. What I'm describing is the word pesha, which is rebellion. So unless you resubmit to the rulership of Jesus, you're going to still be in rebellion to God. And that's why you can still be a Christian, but you struggle to walk because you haven't fully submitted to Him. I'll give you an example. This is like heavy. But an example is God says, I love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Some of us go, God doesn't love me. Right there is actually an example of rebellion. Because God says, I love you. I love you so much, I'm willing to send my son to die and be a sacrifice for you. But you say, I don't love you. Hello? Are you with me? So on one hand, see, from a pastoral perspective, we love them. But from a teacher, when the word of God stands, you go, no, stop it. The cure is, stop it. God doesn't love me. No. God loves you. Submit. Stop having an opinion that is different. Stop being in a rebellion against God. God says you are very good. Oh, I'm ugly. Stop rebelling. We say this nicely. But that's what it comes down to. We are in rebellion when we say God doesn't love me. When He gave His only Son to die. That's right. It's the ultimate show of proof. It's like, I love you this much. I'm willing. It's like there's actually no real treasure in heaven. He created heaven and the earth. The only treasure are the relationships, are the figures in it. And He gave the second person of the Godhead to die for us, to redeem us. That's how much He loves us. He was crucified. He was rejected. He was stripped naked. He was beaten beyond recognition. They put a crown of thorn on His head. Bashed it with a head and go, here you are, you're the king of the Jews. You say you're the king of the Jew. They blindfolded Him, slapped Him and go, prophesy, O prophet. And you say, He doesn't love me. Can we stop it, please? In love. Now, seriously, at the end of the day, you know, as pastoral, we go, oh, yeah, God loves you. But at the end of the day, stop it. Come under the rulership of Jesus. Stop having an opinion other than the opinion of God. Having said that, I understand it's a journey. Even like I think about it's becoming a while ago, but I remember setting up to worship. And while I was setting up my station, I worship in my car because if I worship at home, I start cleaning. And I start doing chores around the house. So I'm like, you start praying. And next thing you know, you're washing the dishes. And you're like, what am I doing? So I worship God in the car now, so I can't move. So I sit in the car. I was setting up my station. And God says, I need you to stop hating yourself. I'm like, no, that's not me. It's like, sorry, God. Like, I might have issues, but that's not it. Then He goes, all right, how do you talk to yourself? And I'm like, damn, got me. That's how you know you're talking to God. Two move, checkmate. I remember walking out of this place. I was encouraging someone 6 months before that. And God says, you should learn to speak to yourself like you speak that person. And I realize I am so hard on myself. Often I hold myself to a high standard. And if I don't reach it, I would swear at myself. I would beat myself up. You know what I realize? If I do it to myself, it can slip out and I do it to you. Ouch. Isn't it? And the whole aim is to become love. How can I love when I hold and judge people secretly? I look at you, it's like, you idiot. You know, like I do that and I realize I do. In the past, in the past. That's not me now. I'm all love. Sorry, Lord. It's not about perfection, man. It's about walking with God and actually walking with Him. And what happened that day was, while I can know it, there's still a walking out. And the walking out is not through religion, it's not through legalism, it's through relationship. A loving father goes, all right, we've dealt with a lot of things, now I need you to deal with this. You've been asking me about love. My mercy score is still the same, it didn't increase. Long story. I tried though, I gave it my best, but it's got to do with something else. So God says, I need you to be kind to yourself. And immediately I started encouraging myself like I encourage other people. Because what I do to me, I do to other people. Are you following me? How can you say God loves me when you go away and you're like, you know, you bleep an idiot, you're this, you're that, you're this. You can't believe in Him. And so the journey for the kingdom of God, other than the healing of the sick, is the submission unto the word of God. Healing of the sick is also part of the kingdom because the Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. Now, I'm not trying to condemn you, I'm not trying to be legalistic, but it's a journey. You know, I remember about 15 years ago, I went on a crusade in India and there was this man with a severely autistic son and he was so desperate for healing that he threw his son onto the stage. I did not even have the faith to pretend to pray. That was 15 years ago. As I progressed, I made it my aim to not walk away like that, not to let God down like that again. And so I went to work and, we've seen people healed. The point is I have improved. Even though scripturally I can know that God, by His stripes, I was healed, relationally, it might take years for that to actually be alive. So don't beat yourself up. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you with me? So with all of that, sin, there's three perspectives. One of the meaning of sin, one of the definition of sin is rebellion that is caused by independence, that is caused by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the cure is the kingdom of God and the submission to King Jesus. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Follow the truth, and sin will fall off you. But the closer you walk to Him, the narrower the road gets. The closer you walk to Him, the less He allows you get away with. Because sometimes I look at the people and I'm like, look at them, God. You know, you corrected me for less than that. I was like, look at them, they're running around. And the answer is, well, I asked for it. I asked to be close to God. I pursue Him. So He's like, well, if you're close to me, I'm gonna make you into a person that I like as well. God loves me, but this sin are not compatible with Him. Are you with me? Okay, I hope you understand. So now, close your eyes and bow your head. That's it. That's just the message. So right now, I'm going to give an opportunity. When Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he became separated. He knows how to make an independent judgment of good and evil, separate and independent from God. The result is that he became separated, just like we are separated if we haven't come back under the rulership of Jesus. If we die in that state, it is an eternity. What is eternity? A place without time, a timeless place where you be separated from Him in every nature of His fellowship, love, water, air, none of it will exist. And you are tormented, dying but not being able to die because you weren't created to die. Are you following me? So now, if God is tugging in your heart and you haven't given your life to Jesus, can I ask you to be so brave and lift up your hand. Say, you know what? I'm going to accept Jesus today. I haven't surrendered to Him And today I'm going to surrender. I'm going to bow my knees to Him. And I'm going to say, you know what, Jesus, you are my Lord. Today you are my mentor. You are my rabbi. I will follow you. And as I follow you, I will become righteous just as you righteous. You will teach me what righteousness is. It's not my own effort. It's not me trying to be righteous. I'll follow you and you'll show me what to do. Even like you're looking at me, like this pastor been minister 14 plus years. God has to teach me stuff. But as a result, there is no condemnation. It is healing. It is soothing. And the result is it's good. I feel better. Who would like that right now? Oh, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's just say this prayer. Everyone, just repeat this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am sorry that I have lived my life independently from you. Today, I will surrender. From now on, I will read your word to find out what your will is. Then I will try my best to follow it. So help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. So just as I was born into sin, I can be born again into righteousness. So help me, God. Amen. Why don't we give those people a round of applause? Now, turn to your neighbor, and I'm going to ask you to be evangelist. And ask your neighbor, did you pray that prayer for the very first time? Because if you did, I'm inviting you to come forward. We love to pray for you. We love to get to know you. Amen. Can I get everyone to just do that? Go, you just ask your neighbor. Go, did you pray that prayer for the very first time? And would you like to come forward? So if you pray that prayer, please come forward. Thank you, man. Anyone else? Thank you, man. All right, is that you? Thank you. If you did pray that prayer and you're too nervous, there should be a QR code behind your seat. If you just scan that, you can enter your details. And so after this, I'm going to quickly pray for you. And then who is our new believer host? Mike, we're going to take you at the back and we're going to just explain to you what happened and to give you Bibles and any information about what to do next. So stretch forth your hand, everyone. Just if you're up the front, just receive. Father, I just thank you for these brand new souls, God. I just pray right now, God, you break off every shame, every condemnation right now from their life, God. And I just pray that you fill them with a sense of cleanness, righteousness, make them born again. Brand new, Lord. Bless them, God. Fill them with your spirit and hold them in your hand, God, and walk with them. Love on them just like you love on me in those early days, Lord, that honeymoon. Bless them right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we give them a round of applause?